We remember the exhortation that Jesus gives us in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 12. In everything, therefore, treat people the same way you want them to treat you. For this is the law and the prophets. But how far do we allow that to extend in our lives? Obviously, we think about how we treat each other, but do we ever think about how we treat each other's possessions? What do I mean by that? Will you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 6? Leviticus chapter 6. And I will begin reading in verse 1. This is the Lord giving laws to Moses, and he says, when a person sins and acts unfaithfully against the Lord and deceives his companion in regard to a deposit or a security entrusted to him, or through robbery, or if he has extorted from his companion, or has found what was lost and lied about it and sworn falsely, so that he sins in regard to any one of the things a man may do, then it shall be, when he sins and becomes guilty, that he shall restore what he took by robbery, or what he got by extortion, or the deposit which was entrusted to him, or the lost thing which he found, or anything about which he swore falsely. He shall make restitution for it in full. He shall add to it one-fifth more. He shall give it to the one whom it belongs on the day that he presents his guilt offering. Then he shall bring to the priest his guilt offering to the Lord, a ram without defect from the flock, according to your valuation for a guilt offering. And the priest shall make atonement for him before the Lord, and he will be forgiven for any one of the things which he may have done to incur guilt. So why am I taking us back to this portion of the old law? I find the old law extremely interesting because in it we have pictured God's desired behaviors for his people. God's ideas of righteousness for his people. And by looking back at the old law, it helps us to understand what exactly righteousness and unrighteousness is. Paul said in Romans chapter 7 and verse 7, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? May it never be. On the contrary, I would not have come to know sin except through the law. For I would not have known about coveting if the law had said, you shall not covet. So looking at this, what do we learn that God desires from his people? We see that this is a law of kind of a few different situations. First, you have the situation if there is someone who entrusts something to another person. Let's say they're going out of town and they have something really important that they don't feel like leaving, that they don't feel comfortable leaving it at home. In other laws, I think in Numbers chapter 22, we see that people would leave gold, clothing, animals with others. So somebody entrusts something to another person. Well, if that person acts unfaithfully with that, whatever it is that's been entrusted to them, if they lie about it, if they are deceitful about it in order to keep that thing, well, that's unrighteousness. That's sin. The second situation, it's kind of an interesting one depending on, because it's kind of unclear depending on what version you read, what exactly we're talking about, because it could be a second part to this first situation. In my version here, in the New American Standard, it says, if anybody has deceived his companion in regard to a deposit or a security entrusted to him, or through robbery, or if he has extorted from his companion. So either this is, like I said, part two to this original situation where someone has entrusted something to another person, and they have robbed them of it. They have stolen this whatever it is from them, or they're extorting them for it. They're saying, hey, you can have it back, but it's going to cost you. If that happens, it's a sin. And then we have the third situation, which is if somebody finds something that has been lost and they lie about it, whether they're lying just that they've seen it or they lie in order to keep whatever it is that's been lost, that's a sin. And we see that it is, you want to talk about in importance, it's not just a sin against the person to whom these things belong, but remember that the Lord says when he begins talking to Moses, he says, if a person sins and acts unfaithfully against the Lord. And we cannot forget that the way to atone for this was not only to pay back what was rightfully the other person's, not just to add a fifth to it, but to also make a sacrifice to God. It is important to God that we act faithfully and responsibly with what belongs to others. God desires his people to be responsible and honest to others and with their things. Now, I like I said, I love the old law because it kind of makes it fairly easy to make this applicable because it can be broken down pretty easy. We can make application with this for our lives just by making a direct application to it. God desires us to be responsible and to be faithful with things that belong to others. If someone entrusts us with something, whatever that may be, whether it be maybe we're watching their dog, maybe we're taking care of their plants, maybe we're taking care of their house, maybe we're house sitting, maybe we're staying in a hotel, maybe the hotel has entrusted a room to us, whatever it may be, God desires his people to be responsible in those situations and to act responsibly. Obviously, God expects his people not to rob or to extort. I don't know. My prayer is that nobody here is really struggling with that. I don't know. Is anybody struggling? Has anybody robbed or extorted anybody recently? if we are, I pray that we realize that is a sin. But also, an interesting part about robbery, in Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 13, we see another example of robbery when the Lord says, "You shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him." And then he says, "The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning." So, robbery, according to this verse, is also just withholding something that rightfully belongs to another for too long of a period of time. So God expects us to not do that. And God expects us to understand that if we find something that is not rightfully ours, to understand that it's not rightfully ours, that it does still belong to the person that has lost it. Now, a lot of these things, I bet probably most of us here really don't struggle with. We probably look at this list of laws and say, "Well, I understand that. That's pretty common sense things." And I praise you if that's the case. That's wonderful. I find that where I struggle is not so much intentionally doing the wrong here. It's not withholding or withholding something that somebody has entrusted to me, or robbing someone, or extorting someone. Really, the problem that I seem to have is just whenever I'm in any one of these situations, just doing the bare minimum. I am a fan of doing the bare minimum in probably all of these situations. If someone were to entrust something to me, my gut reaction may be to just put it somewhere and forget about it. And that's a really bad thing to do in our house because we have kids. You never want to do that because eventually someone's going to come looking for something. And I am going to say, I have no idea where it is, and I'm not trying to withhold it from anybody. I just honestly don't know where it is. It could be anywhere. Um, I find that one of the big reasons why it's hard to be responsible with someone else's things other than my own. Why it's so hard to do that is because it is someone else's things and not my own. So it's hard to be responsible with those things. But my encouragement to us this evening is to not be bare minimum people. Not just doing the bare minimum, in these situations. In fact, I would encourage us to be plus people. Be obedient plus. In Matthew chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says in verse 20, "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Jesus says to his disciples, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom. Well, what does that mean? Well, if we continue reading in verse 21, he says, "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder.' And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown in prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid the last cent. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." And then I'm going to skip to, and then he says, "If your right hand makes you to stumble," I'm going to skip down to verse 31. "It was said, 'Whoever sends his wife away, let him give a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery." And I'm going to stop there. So we get this idea that there is a, you can look at the law, you can follow the law, but there's an understanding that there is a more righteous aspect behind it. You have heard that you shall not commit murder. Well, if you are angry against your brother, that makes you guilty. You have heard that it was said, "You shall not commit adultery." But if you look at a woman with lustful intent, then you are committing adultery. You have heard that it says, you have heard that there is a instruction on how to divorce your wife. But divorce, except in the case of unchastity, is not permitted. So there is a letter to the law that can be followed, and we should desire to follow, although we don't follow the law per se, we desire to follow God's commandments. But not only do we desire to follow the letter, but we desire to understand and strive for the righteous intent of God behind everything that he says. We are obedient plus righteous. Yes, we want to follow God and his commandments, but not only that, but we want to have the heart of God and have his intent behind what we say, or behind what we do. So, how do we do this? How are we obedient plus? Well, it's the opposite of bare minimum, obviously. But if someone entrusts something to me, maybe I treat it like it was my own. Even better than that, maybe I treat it like it was better than my own. I think about the trust that, I guess I was thinking back to an Israelite who was entrusting something to someone else. And you think about like gold, money, animals. somebody wouldn't just leave somebody with that, in my opinion, unless they had faith in them, that they thought that they were going to be responsible with it. And any time that we are left with the care of something that's not ours, a lot of times it's because people have deemed us responsible. And we need to claim that title. Being bare minimum doesn't claim that title, but being obedient plus not only claims that title, but it gives glory to our God and our Lord and our Master. We should treat other things that are entrusted to us better than our own. And really what that helps us to do is to be intentional and better stewards of what God has blessed us with. A lot of times, it's not just other people's things that I'm not a very good steward of, or that I'm not good at taking care of, that I'm very easily put into a corner and just forget about it. Sometimes it's the blessings that God blesses me with, that God has made me a steward with. Sometimes I can be a very poor steward of the blessings that's been given to me, and not just physical things. Maybe I can be a poor steward of my wife or my kids or whatever it may be. Maybe I just have a habit of, and really that may come down to me just not being intentional about things. Maybe I'm not just pushing away, if somebody entrusts something to me, maybe I'm not just putting it away and pushing it away and forgetting about it to another time. Maybe all of the blessings and things that God has blessed me as a steward of, maybe I'm just pushing that to the side and not being intentional with it and forgetting about it. Well, if we are intentional with even the small things that someone else entrusts us, the small physical things that someone entrusts us with, then that's going to help us to grow to be more intentional stewards of what God blesses us with. And I say the small things that someone entrusts us with, again, I think about the Israelites entrusting something like gold to someone else, and I think that that's crazy to think about. Who would do such a thing? But if you think about a situation that I was thinking about, sometimes we're entrusted with something that is way more valuable than someone's gold or silver or money or anything like that. Sometimes we find ourselves in positions where we are entrusted with people's children, where we're watching people's children. And it's very easy in those kind of situations to be bare minimum, to just be babysitters. And I would say that this is one of the most important places to be obedient plus, to be obedient to our God, where we take care of what's been entrusted to us, but then to be plus. And what is plus in that situation? Well, I think that it would be showing the righteousness, the goodness, teaching about God. We are entrusted with some really mind-boggling things that sometimes I don't really think about as being what they are. God has given us such great responsibility. We need to take hold of that and be responsible stewards of what He has given us. Now, lastly, I just want to point out kind of a spiritual application that we can make with all of this. We are the most important way that we can be obedient plus, not just bare minimum, is with the spiritual things. And that is with what we have been given by God, and also what God has lost. What have we been given by God? Well, in Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, we read, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus has been baptized into His death? Therefore we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in a newness of life." We have been gifted, we have been entrusted with a new life through Jesus Christ. A life that God wants back. He wants back with him, with the myriads one day, and the new Jerusalem, wiping away every tear from our eye. Are we determined to be there? Are we determined to be the righteous people that God wants us to be? God has given us talents to make the most of this life that he has blessed us with. He says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 that we've all been gifted gifts according to the grace that he's given us. And we need to grow in those. Remember the parable of the talents? It ends in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 28. For the one who just took his talent and hid it in the ground, therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But for the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Are we responsible with the life and the talents that God has entrusted us with? Are we making the most of those? Are we responsible with what God has lost? We read in Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 4, "What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.'" And when I read this parable, I get this image of the good shepherd searching for his sheep, searching for that which is lost. And we read earlier in Leviticus chapter 6, kind of the burden of whenever you find something, you can't claim it for its own. I meant to touch on this. I really didn't. But how can we be obedient plus when we find something? Well, that doesn't belong to us. Well, part of that is putting in a little bit of effort to help return it to its original owner. That is a hard thing for me to say, because I typically, whenever I find something that's been lost, I am dead set on doing something else, and it is hard to break attention to do that. But yet that's righteousness. That's trying to be righteous as God is righteous. And we have this image of the good shepherd searching for the 99, for the one sheep, leaving the 99. Looking diligently, searching for this one sheep that was lost. And could you imagine if someone were like to keep walking by that sheep and knew that it was there, knew where it was the entire time, and then just did nothing to return to the shepherd? We know he's looking for it. We know he's out there searching for it. And we've seen this sheep every day of our life, but yet never return it. Can you imagine that? And yet, I have come to the realization that we are surrounded by sheep. Like the sheep that God is looking for is all around us. We see them every day. Am I responsible and faithful to God? Am I putting in the extra plus by seeing that? By honestly understanding that God wants these people with him? And using this new life that he's given me, using the talents that he's given me, using what he's entrusted to me to help return the sheep that's been lost. God desires his people faithful and responsible to others. And really the most faithful and responsible thing that we can do to others is tell them about our good and awesome Holy Lord. If you need any prayers this evening, if you need to return to the Good Shepherd, if you're a sheep that's been lost, we pray that you would do this evening. Please come forward while we stand and as we sing.